Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it. But we start off on a somber note. Because a horrible tragedy
has struck the nation,
and particularly you, Joel, because you seem to take the news so much harder than everyone else. If you don't know by now, it's official. George Clooney and Stacey Keibler have officially broken up.
It's true.
Joel, what was the first thing that you did when I told you that news?
I went into denial and went to the internet to confirm my denial.
And how so?
I googled George Clooney is happy.
Just so you can see a picture of Clooney smiling?
Yes.
Because you wanted to believe that Clooney is happy right now at this moment.
Yes.
What if he's not happy?
He can't be. He doesn't have Stacey Keibler anymore.
I'm pretty sure he was happy before Stacey Keibler. He had a successful career long before her. And, you know, you've seen the women he's dated in the past. He's going to be happy.
I wasn't happy.
You weren't happy?
Before George Clooney dated Stacey Keibler? I mean, I thought I was. But then Clooney started dating Stacey Keibler.
So how do you feel about A-Rod dating, whatever her name is?
I don't care.
The other diva. Tori Wilson.
I don't care.
I'm assuming they're still together.
Neither one of them are going to get George Clooney to come to the WWE Hall of Fame ceremony.
Okay, I don't think Stacey Keibler got him to attend the WWE Hall of Fame ceremony.
Don't you think she could be inducted someday?
No.
You don't think so?
No. She's no Trish Stratus.
Okay, of course she's no Trish Stratus, but don't they induct a diva every year?
I don't know if they plan on it, but it seems like they have by accident.
I mean, I assume that's kind of a thing, you get your main thing,
I guess they only have so many. And they already,
They only have so many, and she came out at a time when divas were a lot higher profile
on the show.
So, although, you know, she wasn't Trish Stratus.
Well,
she wasn't
Lita. I personally, I don't think it's that big a deal if she doesn't get inducted, but knowing WWE and knowing the following that she has, they'll induct her just, you know, based on name and legs.
Especially if she could get George Clooney to show up
at the
WWE Hall of Fame.
Not anymore.
Now she just got bumped to the bottom of the pile.
Maybe she can, like, hook up with one of his friends.
I think.
Like Brad Pitt's married. Matt Damon's married. I don't know any of his other friends.
See?
Just everyone who was in the Oceans movie.
So I was like, did you watch Oceans 3? George Clooney, Matt Damon, Brad Pitt.
Is Don Cheadle married?
Is Don Cheadle in that movie?
Yeah, he plays the British guy.
Alright.
He's the explosion expert.
If you say so.
Yeah, because in the last one, he dressed up as a daredevil motorcyclist.
Of course he did.
Yeah.
Of course he did.
I just remember him in that really just loud red, white, and blue suit.
The point is that she was probably on the fast track to get inducted. She's not getting inducted.
Right. Just so they can have that quick cut.
Cut to George Clooney being like,
smiling.
It's my girl. It's my girl. Yeah, no.
And him looking at the camera and mouthing, I was Batman.
Yeah.
I love it when he reminds people that.
George Clooney's so cool.
Nipple suit.
I can't stay mad at you, George Clooney.
I mean, you know, by all means, she could be the one that broke it off. I mean, I don't know anything about the story other than the fact that they broke up. So.
Oh, you don't? It was because he doesn't want to get married.
Isn't that why he breaks up with all of his girlfriends?
Yeah, they all think that they can change him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. But no, the thing, he doesn't want to get married. He doesn't want to have a family.
So, like, is that the actual reason, or are you just assuming?
No. I mean, I don't know because I didn't talk to them personally,
but that's the
cited reason, okay. Yeah.
That's what I meant, so. Yeah. Joel, what are the stars like? Could you talk me into bed and tell me what Brad and Angelina's like?
It's just really attractive all the time.
They just look at each other with blank stares and just saying, you're attractive.
Constant attractiveness.
You're attractive. No. You're attractive.
And everything fragile is at least 4 feet off the ground. And everything under 4 feet is made by Fisher-Price.
Alright.
Because they have kids.
Yeah, I get it.
All right, good. All right.
Wrestling.
Now that we've talked about the important world news, let's go into this arbitrary man-punch-man business.
So, I saw something on Reddit, and it's probably something I really shouldn't have. It's the one thing I wish I didn't have the Google Zoom app. Mm-hmm. Like, you just, you know, hover your mouse over a link, and, you know, if it's an image, it'll pop up.
Yeah.
Yeah, photos of X-Pac's injury from a few months ago. So I now know what a bruised butthole looks like.
Yeah, I haven't seen that.
Stay as far away from it as
I've seen George Clooney as happy.
I've accidentally come across it twice. Like, one time I was just scrolling through and I just happened, like, I was looking at something else, but my mouse just rested on that link and it popped right up. Yeah. Yeah. Reddit, you foul beast. Why would you post that? Why would he leak those photos?
I don't know.
Like, hey guys, look at my bruised butthole. Isn't it so bruised?
He's trying to get X-Pac heat.
Well played. Alright. So to actual wrestling.
Wrestling.
Sorry. It was a little bit more wrestling related.
Baby steps.
Yes.
Back to wrestling.
By the way, this podcast should be called X-Pac's Butthole.
I don't think so.
Okay, fair enough. I'm
on to the actual show. Quick rundown of the show.
Yes.
So, Pasha to a Sheamus and Daniel Bryan match.
Right off the bat, too.
Although, Daniel Bryan won clean.
Won clean,
rock
yeah.
on. I will say...
No, wait, it was a roll-up.
It was a roll-up. Okay, fair enough. I mean, so... But
clean-ish.
It was clean. Yeah. It was a clean victory. It wasn't...
For a Sheamus match, it's yes. surprising.
So, it was really, really interesting, because although I've clearly jumped high onto this straight 100% hatred of Sheamus, no excuses.
You think?
Bandwagon thing. It was really interesting to see, like, you know, these two guys go against each other because they. I don't know, it was one specific moment, and it's the moment where Sheamus is hitting him, he's tied up in the ropes, and he's punching him in the chest, and the crowd counts to 14 or 28 or whatever.
It's 10.
It's way more than 10.
Okay.
It takes forever.
Yeah, it does. It does.
And I was watching that, and I was like, Daniel Bryan is selling this mood harder than Sheamus is right now.
Right, than Sheamus is giving it, yeah.
Yeah. And not in like a over the top kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
He's just making this move look better.
Is it just because he's Daniel Bryan?
I mean, it's because he's Daniel Bryan, but it's because that means something. It's not right. because I'm sitting here being like, Daniel Bryan, hooray forever.
Right, right.
Even though I totally could sit here and say Daniel Bryan, hooray forever.
Absolutely, but you know, just the way he actually sells it.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
It's because Daniel Bryan does that, and Sheamus doesn't.
Uh-huh.
And part of it, I just don't like that move.
Yeah.
And a lot of Sheamus unique moves I don't like. And I'll say that's personal preference.
No. So, I'm absolutely right there with you. Like, I don't like that. I don't like
I don't like the bro kick.
I don't like, yeah.
Although I like sweet chin music. It looks better. It looks more fluid.
Yeah.
I mean, they're the same move, so, like...
Well, yeah, it's just, you know, a kick from a different angle.
Yeah.
So,
if you like bro kick, honestly, that's fine.
Right, yeah,
I'm not gonna bag on that.
I've always hated White Noise. I think that's since he started using it. He doesn't use the Texas Cloverleaf as much. He used it tonight, and Daniel Bryan, you know, did a nice counter to it.
I will say, although, you know, I still fully am done with Sheamus.
You don't say.
Best match he's had in a while.
Because it was Daniel Bryan.
I mean,
and Daniel Bryan pretty much.
I'm happy
make any
to give that credit to Daniel Bryan, but having a match where you look good, even if it's the other guy's fault or the other guy's credit.
Yeah, it still takes quite a bit of effort from your part.
Yeah, I mean, you can't just sit there and do nothing, so Sheamus
could. Daniel Bryan is at a point where he can really just... It's kind of along the same lines with Cena. Like, Cena, he has a lot of crap matches that we give him a lot of flack for. But every time he gets to go, he's up against CM Punk. It's always impressive for both guys.
Yeah.
Like, if for some reason, CM Punk makes Cena either seem like or actually does work harder.
Yeah.
You know, and it seems like Daniel Bryan is doing that on a consistent basis with
everyone. Everybody.
Yeah.
And it's also, you know...
And I think it's just because a lot of people know how much of a hot streak he's on, and they kind of just, like, well, maybe I can get some contact, you know, heat or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, the thing also is that,
Or people are just excited to work with him.
Sheamus is, fast on that track to Super Cena status, where it's just irritating.
I think he's more Super Cena than actually.
Oh, he is. He just hasn't been long enough to really, like, hate it.
For a lot of people,
for a lot of people, not us apparently.
Not you.
Really, you don't want to.
Oh no, no, no.
Tie yourself with the hatred of Sheamus.
Fine. Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
You want to leave that window creaked so you can sleep back out?
No,
I was Sheamus fan the whole time, you guys.
Not at all. Not at all. I am completely against Sheamus. It's just you're on another level, dude. That's what. Like, I don't want to take credit for your amount of hatred because I don't want to cheat your hatred.
Fair enough.
Like, I have my own set of hatred towards him. But you have such a mountain of hatred right now. It is astonishing.
Well, not right now, because he had his best match.
Oh, yeah, okay. So now it's, you know, it's a step down from, I don't know, Everest.
I mean, yeah, no, it's the guy standing next to the guy on top of Everest.
Now it's Kilimanjaro.
No, it's still Everest. It's just, like, one step to the left.
Oh,
so you're
okay.
Not technically on the peak.
Okay, you're, like, you scooped up some snow, and technically you're just below the flag.
Basically, if you were on Everest in high heels before, now you're on Everest not in high heels.
Okay, so you're on the top of Everest barefooted.
Yes.
Okay.
It's cold.
Why were you wearing high heels on the top of Mount Everest?
Extra challenge in the climb. So.
Alright, I'll allow it.
My point is, to get to the wrestling of it all.
Such a weird metaphor.
Losing in a clean match, losing in an extended match, losing in a match that where the guy you are facing put on a lot of offense, so there was a lot of back and forth in that match,
mm-hmm.
and being worn down and beaten is a good thing
mm-hmm.
to happen. Now, to be in a lot of those matches and win every single time makes you the Super Cena. But there is totally a possibility of these two guys to have a back and forth kind of repertoire that I could eventually get behind,
mm-hmm.
or at least would do a lot to better Sheamus. And he wouldn't even have to lose every time. I'm saying he could win a couple. He could win the next one. He could, because of this, he could win, not Money in the Bank, because no. He hasn't earned that yet.
No.
But he could win on Raw next week.
Or he can win on SmackDown.
He could win on SmackDown. Friday. In a good match with a lot of back and forth, giving a lot of credit to his opponent,
mm-hmm.
Making his opponent look good, he could have one of those matches. I'd be okay with that.
Okay.
So, but baby steps. This is not an okay to make Sheamus start winning things.
Fair enough.
No. You are still in the most serious probation. You are being kept on a very short leash. A leash of one link. So,
a keychain.
Yes.
Okay.
You're being kept on a keychain of leash.
All right. So, what else on the show?
Merritt's talking about?
Yes.
Vicky.
Yep. Vicky had her job evaluation. And
yes.
We essentially got American Idol of, made up of, Vince McMahon, Stephanie, and Triple H. Triple H also did the Vince McMahon walk.
Triple H did the Vince walk.
And it's fantastic.
It was beautiful. I loved it.
Even if it was for a split second, it was...
And in the background.
Yep.
It was amazing. Triple H.
You can definitely... Because when they're at the top of the ramp, and Vince is kind of motioning for everyone to walk down together, and Triple H is like, yeah, you guys go ahead. Because he wanted to do it behind Vince's back.
Yep.
I loved it.
Triple H.
Made me think of the segment where... he and Shawn Michaels dressed up as Vince and Shane.
Oh, yeah.
It was a lot more funny than it had any right to be. You know?
That...
On the surface, like, okay, they're dressing up as other guys.
That defines Triple H and Shawn Michaels'
relationship. Oh, absolutely. They're most of, like...
More funny than it has any right to be.
I think during their last DX run, they did like these series of Christmas commercials for WWE Shop, and they were just so corny, but I was laughing my butt off every single time. And it was funny because they were airing while Shawn Michaels was in that very serious
Undertaker.
No, it was before that. It was whenever he had this thing, weird thing going on with JBL, where JBL was his boss or whatever, because Shawn was like, you know, low on money because of the economy.
Yeah,
it might have been. It might not have been the last DX run. It might have been the second last, but still. And it was just weird because they would show that commercial where it was very funny, very lighthearted, and then cut over to serious face Michael Cole and be like, well, obviously that was taped in happier times for Shawn, and he would transition into whatever sad Christmas time story that was apparently going on.
Oh, man. Important highlights. Vince might be turning heel.
Vince, yeah. Whenever they fired, they decided, well, Stephanie and Triple H decided to fire
Vicky.
And Vince just went on a nice little tirade there.
Against the fans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, like, well, you're going to get what you deserve. And then that's when he hired the next GM.
Brad Maddox.
Brad Maddox is the new general manager.
Excited.
He's no longer Ref McDreamy. No. He is now GM McDreamy.
Yeah.
This is going to be so awkward and so funny.
So, okay. So Vince is being heelish.
Right, and I'm assuming the next few weeks is just going to be, you know, Vince setting Brad up to fail.
Yeah. You know. There's no way this cannot, that this, like, three-way power struggle storyline can end.
No. I think this is basically going to last probably about as long as AJ, to be honest with you.
If that.
Yeah.
So it's clearly something.
Or the other two are going to be like, okay, well, we have veto power. We can hire our own general manager. And then you have like three different general managers who are essentially, you know, puppets.
Yeah. So I totally see it.
And also out of that, and, you know, we saw this later, you know, Vicky walking out with her crate of stuff. And she's approached by Ryback, and he gives her a hug, and we were all like, "Oh, so, Ryback has a feel, Ray."
The monster with the heart. So obviously, she's gonna start coming out with Ryback, and
yeah,
rub some of that beautiful Vicky heat onto Ryback.
Yeah, which is, to be honest with you, this is a really smart move because Ryback, he's not really getting the heat that they want.
Well,
he's getting heat, but it's just more everyone being annoyed with him type heat. Like, not X-Pac level, but it's heading in that direction.
It's hard to take the guy seriously.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't... I mean, after this huge build-up, he hasn't defeated a worthy opponent yet. Like, to truly champion. He failed to do anything to CM Punk.
Yeah.
He never got that championship. He
never got anything done against the Shield.
Yeah.
Of course he didn't get anything done with Cena.
No, he lost to Cena. He lost at Mania. So, you know, he's a big human being. He takes up more percentage of this earth than I do. But yeah. Other than that, he's not, you know, he doesn't cut an imposing figure. He doesn't have an impressive track record. No. Get that Vicky heat on him. Do what you did for Dolph. Do what you did for Edge. Like,
yeah.
I'd be fine if they started dating, you know?
I mean, she ends up dating Oliver.
It has worked twice before.
Yeah. Might as well go for a third, yeah. You know? I mean, sure, we've seen it before, but right now you might as well try it with Ryback.
Yeah, get that heat on Ryback.
Maybe, just maybe, that will cause people to stop freaking chanting Goldberg.
Yeah.
I've had enough of that. I had another moment of similar, like where I was fed up with fans, and that was something that I'm sure we'll talk about after this. But
yeah, I want to go ahead and talk about that. I'm done. Ryback,
okay. Yeah.
I vote Ryback.
Vicky's out. We got Brad, and now Vicky is probably going to represent Ryback. Yeah. But yeah, moving on. We had the debut of
Michael McGillicuddy.
Very well timed. Just like the actual thing.
I know, right?
Joel is referencing, if you didn't, if you blinked, because I missed it live, I watched it later. When Christian comes out for his match against Kane, the banner, or whatever you call it, the lower...
The Tron video.
The lower Tron, yeah. Where you come out.
Well, I couldn't see the upper Tron.
No, the upper Tron actually was Christian.
Oh, was it?
On the actual big Tron, the banner at the bottom where they walk out, just had giant letters, Michael McGillicuddy. Which I assume they probably should have just trashed, seeing as how, you know, he goes by a different name now.
Yeah.
And two, it's not Christian.
No, it's not.
I mean, granted, probably the last time Christian was actually consecutively on programming was, he was probably Michael McGillicuddy. So, fine. So maybe they were just right, they were too close to each other on their list.
Yeah, like...
Things to click on. Which doesn't make any sense, because I'm assuming it would be off out of my, alphabetical order.
No, it was probably sort of by last opened.
Yeah, fair enough. Good call. Oh, they've opened up Christian.
Yeah, I don't know.
Since then. I don't know.
I don't have a real reason. It's a bizarre, bizarre mistake. Like, I could totally see...
I would have rather them, like, play somebody's... Like, click on somebody's banner. Someone who's not even in the company. Like, accidentally plays... You know, John Morrison or
Hulk Hogan.
Or Hulk Hogan or Chris Masters or something. Like, someone completely out there, like, play someone who's dead, I don't care.
No, it would have hurt me if John Morrison's stuff had played.
And nothing Christian,
especially this close to Money in the Bank. If John Morrison had played by mistake, I could not handle the roller coaster emotions.
I just had a thought. Part of me wanted to wait until we get to the mail sack, but I'm just going to go ahead and ask you now.
Alright.
How mad would you have been if they played John Morrison's, like, everything, just completely, accidentally played John Morrison stuff, you get all hopeful and excited, and out comes Sheamus? How big of a drop in emotion will you have?
I don't know if I can handle that. Those thoughts hurt.
I see that as you're still clenching your chest.
Oh, no. John Morrison was supposed to come back sometime this year.
Okay, was that citing anything?
I mean, dirt sheet rumors. Like, it was strong dirt sheet rumors for a few weeks.
Yeah, well, that's like, these are the same people that guaranteed that Shelton Benjamin and...
No, I know, like...
Chris Masters and, like...
The
guys were going to come back for Royal Rumble.
I'm not sitting there every week being like, maybe this time... But, you know, everything has said...
Where is Evan Bourne?
I don't know where Evan Bourne is.
Like, what did he break? His whole body? Like, was he in a body cast right now?
Evan Bourne drank the Mysterio juice. It fragiles your bones. You put on that mask too quick and you break something.
I feel like I watched that episode of Fringe.
Oh, man. I have no idea. Anyway, yeah, the real debut.
I'm just going to randomly ask that until he comes back, like, where the hell is Evan Bourne?
Come on, you guys.
Seriously, somebody can find him. Tyson Kidd's been injured for the past 6 months, and we've seen tons of photos of him.
I don't know.
Because he got married, but still.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Okay. Anyway, the real reason that we were talking earlier, we had the debut of the Wyatt family, and I thought we got these video packages throughout the entire night of this reporter who tried to track them down, and we got the last one, which is just, you know, close up of Bray in the rocking chair with the big lamp,
mm-hmm.
and then they blow it out, everything goes black, and he comes back out with the lamp, with the music playing, completely pitch dark except for the lamp. I thought that was probably one of the best debuts I've seen. Just strictly on vibe alone, like sure, you know, we always point to the original Jericho debut as probably being the best. Original Jericho, like back when he went up against Rock in 99.
Well, yeah, I mean, a lot of the original Jericho was from, like, you knew who Jericho was, and
we never expected this to ever happen.
Jericho being on this TV show instead of that TV show.
I'm just like, of guys that were actually, that went through the you know, the WWE farm system, you know.
Best debut. See, I mean, honestly, I would give it to the Nexus debut.
Over
the NXT Season 1
rookies. Well, that one, because it got the big surprise out of us. The big shock value.
I think there was so much.
But as far as, like, what is going on? They built this up for, like, the past couple months, you know, and just, it, just they kind of, like, had it play and, you know, whatever. And then just week by week, it seemed like it became a bigger and bigger deal. And, you know, last week we got the very end of Raw with just the rocking chair going back and forth. And, I don't know, just the way this went down, it was, I thought it was really well done.
It was really interesting,
you know, the whole thing with Kane kind of...
I don't know why they're attacking Kane.
I just thought it was interesting, cause, and then it might be just reading too much, and, you know, they attack him, and, you know, Bray just throws out the line, you know, down with the machine, which is, you know, harks back to everyone calling Kane the Big Red Machine.
Yeah.
You know? So I think it was just kind of a metaphorical type thing.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm waiting for something more.
Also, if you're going to do a threatening-looking stair shot like that, don't use the indented part of the...
that's what you do so you don't actually remove the head one of your star wrestlers.
I understand that, and I don't want that to happen to Kane, because I love Kane so very much.
Yes.
But pick a different spot. Like, do something else. Like, because that just... It kind of... I don't want to say it completely undercut everything. It's just kind of cheapened it a little bit. Like, okay, this is not as scary or threatening as I thought.
Well,
and the one thing I was alluding to with the crowd is they were... A few of them were giving them the Husky Harris chance. And I'm like, really? Come on. We all know who it is. We all know who you used to be. Get over it. Like... You don't, like, I guess it's just because it's easy to chant, because, you know, every time Curtis Axel comes out, we don't get a McGillicuddy chant, because...
McGillicuddy.
Yeah, that's, it's not a really chantable...
McGillicuddy, there it is. It's the Decepticons thing, when they squeeze the word
Mike McGills.
Hugs and Gills, man.
Hugs and Gills, yeah, they're both back. The Husky Harris and,
Mike McGillicuddy.
As in, you call them Hugs and Gills.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations.
I know. I miss those guys.
Well, they're back now. They're just not the same.
They're back, but they're weird.
But they're both different people than they used to be. They had an identity crisis, and now they're someone...
It's like you come back over the summer... No, it's like you come back home after your first year of college to see all your high school friends. You're like, what did college do to you?
Yeah. It's like hurricane season. Okay. Listen to me. It was hurricane season, and for a very short time, this is the only year that... My name has ever been on a hurricane. And I was like, yeah, let's cause some destruction. And it was like a very weak hurricane. It was like, Hurricane Chris. All of a sudden, he goes into a depression. And then next thing you know, it strengthens back up into a hurricane, and it's Evelyn. That's basically wrestling logic.
Nobody remembers.
Nobody remembers that I was depressed and now I'm Evelyn.
So, I mean, I don't know. I think you're a little more taken with this than I am right now.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, okay. I really, really love the stuff they did in NXT. And I'm glad that they're carrying it over to WWE. And it seems like they're just, like, diving even further into these characters.
I mean, it's a lot of, like, isn't this weird? Look how weird the weirdness is.
True.
It's so weird.
Right. That would be different if they weren't actually, like, acting on it. You know, being menacing in the ring or against other people, like what we saw with Kane, them actually carrying something out. You know? For a second, I really thought they were just going to carry Kane off. And I'm like, oh god, they're going to turn Kane into one of them, you know? That would have been pretty creepy.
It's a lot of, you know, gimmicky stuff.
Yeah, and I mean, okay, and it's good for right now. Now, of course, you know, going forward, we're going to need a little bit more context. Fully understandable, because for the same reason why we initially were all about some Brodus Clay, how we were all about some Fandango, and still kind of are, you know. And I know there's some other person that I'm probably forgetting. I feel like I'm forgetting, but basically, you know, they had this big fanfare when they debuted, and nothing's going on with it.
I might say Brodus Clay was my favorite debut in recent memory. Just because
they just completely turned what you were expecting.
He had those, like, monster promos.
Oh, yeah, the end of humanity.
Basically Hall of Fame, like...
Yeah.
And then it's like, alright, here he comes. This is an odd musical choice for this man. Wait a minute. What is that funny hat on his head?
Yeah.
Oh, he's dancing. Why is he... I guess that wasn't his debut, though, because he was...
Well, his re-debut, yeah. His new character, so to speak. Which is weird, because you would have thought they would have changed his name.
Yeah.
For it. Because they changed everyone else's name.
It's the Funkasaurus.
Yeah, I did see that on Twitter. I know it was on Reddit. You were on Reddit. I looked over, and someone was like, Bray Wyatt debut, and I can just see Justin Roberts coming out and... Coming to you from the planet Funk.
Yep.
I'm like, oh god, no, not this again. They don't need any more members.
The Funkamaniacs!
Oh, no, just no.
So
I'm, okay, it was a really good debut, and Chris. I thought it was a really good payoff.
Says Chris.
Chris, at least the entrance, I know the actual stuff in the ring against Kane left a little bit more to be desired. But as long as they actually build from it, and they just don't, okay, we're going to come out and be creepy. If they actually build some sort of story out of it, then I'm all game for it. Yeah, but initial steps is promising, I think.
It's...
I'm higher on Bray Wyatt than I am the other two.
Yeah.
I don't remember their names right now, but...
Beard One and Beard Red?
Yeah. Bald Beard and Hair Beard.
Yeah. Although Hairbeard's kind of got a bald spot.
Yes, he does.
It's just, to me, it's another group that's going to invade, change, take over. And I'm not done with the Shield yet.
Yeah.
And as we found out last week, I had big plans for the Shield.
Yes.
So I don't need Shield 2.0, the weird edition, with the sheep mask. This time it's,
sheepy. The less technical Shield.
Yes.
But still... The creepy Shield.
It's creepy Shield.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Shield is already CM Punk's Revolution 2.0.
Yeah.
You know, so there's just...
Too many people trying to change stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough.
Somebody's going to fall through some cracks.
To be honest with you, I was... Whenever we first started to see the vignettes for the Wyatt family, it looked like, oh, it's just going to be Bray Wyatt. I would have been okay with that. If it was just him.
But to bring up the whole family at once.
Bring up the whole family, I don't know. It kind of... Because I've been very big on him ever since he started doing this new character.
Yeah.
So I was really hoping he would kind of come out on his own.
See, I liked Husky Harris so much.
I know.
I liked that he was huge and could move across that ring.
Yes.
He's not as huge anymore.
No, he has lost some weight.
Which, you know, I'm sure is great for him and will probably lead to a longer and healthier life for him.
Yes.
But has lost some of what was appealing to me initially.
Right.
Was that look. I mean, and he still has a look now, but it's a very different look. Mm-hmm. It's a new look. So
I think he's got a much more memorable look right now.
Yeah.
That people are really going to be able to point him out. Now, of course, he was... pretty memorable as Husky Harris, but still.
I think we said this last week, or the week before. You can only, you know, you have these gimmick guys. You have Fandango, you have now Bray Wyatt, and you have Brodus Clay, since we're talking about him. But there's only so long that this gimmick can carry you. It will need to be... John Cena started off as a gimmick character.
Right.
You know, he got that Thuganomics thing, and it had to fall by the wayside. Had to hit the Marine stuff and then fall into just John Cena being John Cena.
Right.
Yeah,
absolutely. Like it's like what I was saying. Like, you know, you start off and you're very promising, but you've got to build something off of that. You got to either change up the character as you go or continue to have interesting storylines under that character.
I don't think And I'm not saying I want this. I'd be loved to be proven wrong. I don't think, though, in this day and age of wrestling, you can have a gimmick character be a main eventer. Like, you can have stylized people. You know, CM Punk is a guy with this attitude and this yeah. feel. But
I think it's a little bit easier as serious heels mm-hmm. that have a gimmick.
Yeah. Know? Well, I think
You're just being the big bad heel at that point, you know. Now the overly gimmicky face like Brodus, yeah, it's gonna be hard to believe not Fandango, he's a heel, but he's more much of a far out type of yeah. character, yeah.
You know, I think that kind of can only take you so far.
Yeah, absolutely.
And while
it
can move you easily from the bottom to the middle, I think you
need something else to take you even further. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. But you gotta admit, Bray Wyatt has one thing going for him. He's not his brother, Bro Dallas.
He's not Bro Dallas.
Because, dear Lord, everyone is hating on him mm-hmm. so bad.
They are. That guy needs to start over.
Yes.
He needs to wrestle some...
He's 19. Come on. But, he's being pushed as the NXT champion, and the company is just so high up on him already. You know, and fans nowadays, they like to be angsty about everything, so... Why not be angsty against the next guy that they like?
I mean, to be fair, I think they are getting close to grasping at straws for new Cena.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and again, I don't want another Cena. I don't want another head of the company for 7 to 10 years. I want top guys 3 years max.
Yeah.
The Rock had 3 years. Stone Cold had 3 years.
And it worked because that was a good arc.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's not like your career completely dies out after that.
No.
You know, you can easily take the back step. Like, Rock was doing like SmackDown matches against Hurricane Helms, like, you know, and doing his rock concert thing. Like, he didn't have to be the main guy, but, you know, they brought him in because he made ratings. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you can take your, 6 month vacation, you can come back, you can get a WrestleMania pop or a SummerSlam pop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you come in for a feud at a time now. You're not there for weeks on end. But Cena, I don't want another Cena. And
doesn't the guy, need a vacation at some point? He has been going straight since whatever his last injury was.
Yeah.
Or his last serious injury, I should say.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
I mean... Props to the guy, you know, like...
Oh, yeah, you know, it's not easy to stay somewhat healthy, or at least healthy enough to not be taken off the road once in years.
So
fine, yeah. I'm not dogging the guy, it's just... If it was me, I would be eyeing all those vacation days that I've got wrecked.
Yeah.
At some point, be like, ayo, screw you guys, I'm going to Cabo.
Yeah. You know what would have been nice?
Cabo.
Sure, but... But I would have been really interested in Cena taking a break from losing to The Rock to facing The Rock.
It would have made... of course, anything other than him doing this John Laurinaitis thing...
Oh, yeah, I mean, absolutely. Like, there's a... ton of stuff.
But from a storyline perspective, yeah, that would have been great if he would take, let's say 6 months. Which is, I know it's a lot for the top guy. But they've done it before. They've survived without Cena before.
And CM Punk was your champion.
Yes. And he was, in those 6 months, he was the good guy.
Yeah.
Have Cena come back, he can start his whole road to redemption, hashtag our time is now, or whatever.
I think you could have even done, that you could have a little mini backstory or behind the scenes story of we need Cena for Raw 1000. We can't, and track him down in Tibet where he's licking his wounds.
Or he's like Shawn Michaels and becomes a soup kitchen chef.
Yes, it wasn't a soup kitchen, but yes.
It was a cafeteria, whatever.
Yeah. So he was definitely making a grilled cheese.
He was?
Yeah, it might have been a burger. I don't know. It was something on a grill.
It was on a grill, yeah. So he had it all on fire.
Yes.
Yes.
But, you know, you could definitely have him, even, you know, I would have been more okay with him winning the Rumble if he surprised entranced the Rumble.
Yeah.
And what could have been really cool is if you had him surprise entrance the Rumble and then sacrifice his chance at a belt to go against The Rock at WrestleMania again, then CM Punk could have stayed your champion and not lost to a people's elbow. Just saying. Would have been awesome.
No one's going to argue against you. I don't think anyone who listens to this podcast is going to argue against you. And of course, there's always that one guy. We learned that with Pat.
Yes.
Who we have not heard from. Just throwing that out there. No one's going to disagree with you. Because, you know, obviously that sounds much better than what actually happened.
Yes.
But they wanted the Cena money all year. They wanted to take a chance on CM Punk, but they didn't want to take that much of a chance on CM Punk.
No, I know. I begrudgingly get it, but it's not my job to make the company money.
True.
So I can't sit here and say this would have been better. And on from a storyline point, it would have made a better story. You know that one time where Cena made it all work in that one promo,
yeah,
of like, you didn't beat me, I beat me,
yeah,
kind of thing? That would have felt so much better after a year of Cena having soul searched. It would have been better. But that's neither here nor there.
Our bank accounts is much, much smaller than Vince's.
Right. That's neither here nor there.
When that being said, I think it's time to move on to Money in the Bank.
Money in the Bank prediction.
That is coming up this Sunday. And first up, we have the pre-show, which is the tag team championship, and that makes it Shield versus the Usos.
I would like to reiterate my point of being very concerned about with the Wyatt family getting here with all, we're all going to change the world thing, happening the same week that the Shield gets put into the pre-show. That's, yes, not where the Shield belongs.
No.
So my concern feels justified.
I understand that. I'm assuming it's because they know that these Money in the Bank matches take up a little bit more time.
Yeah.
And looking at the rest of the roster, or the rest of the card, there's maybe one other match that could have been in the pre-show.
Yeah.
But it's also the one that's been in the pre-show
for quite a long time, yeah.
So, understandably, they... Fine.
And again, you know, on the flip side, I've said before... If you want to make this pre-show thing work, you put good stuff in that pre-show. Right.
Absolutely. You put on, or at least a championship match, yeah, of some sort. And, you know, we've had all these pay-per-views that don't even have the tag team championship defended in it. So, yeah, there you go.
I get that through gritted teeth, though.
I fully understand it, and I'm right there with you.
That being said, the Shield needs to dominate this match.
Yes.
They need to not break a sweat in this match.
They don't. Although, I've said for a long time that Usos needed to run with a championship belt, but this was also like 3 years ago. I don't know if they have some sort of renewed interest in them. I doubt it, especially against the Shield. So, I'm going to give it a good two maths.
Two maths.
Yeah. I got a little heat from some people because apparently I forgot to do maths last pay-per-view.
Oh, alright. Maths.
Not huge heat, but enough people that are like, what's wrong? You forget how to do your maths? I'm like, yes, that's the whole point of it.
Two maths.
Right. Next we have the Divas Championship. I almost said it like Justin Roberts. The Divas Championship. AJ versus Caitlyn, who are probably going to be joined by their new best friends. Caitlyn now has, what's her nuts?
Not Michelle.
Layla. McCool.
Thank you, Layla.
Yes. I couldn't remember her name earlier either. And AJ Lee is going against, or she's going to be joined by now heel Alicia Fox, because she's heel for the purpose of this feud.
Yes. Caitlyn.
I mean, sure, because AJ's, you know, she's kind of been the person that's gotten the upper hand a lot this past month. And she's also got this thing going on with Dolph, where they seem to be kind of heading in different directions.
They're on the rocks.
I know.
It's just like George and Stacy.
Just like George Clooney and Stacy Keebler. You're absolutely right, Bill.
Everything I love is ruined. Honestly, like, we've said before, this is the best thing the Divas have done in years.
Really, but then again, they haven't really done much with it.
And
now they're bringing more Divas into the fold, like, just because they want to have best friends. Because apparently, Divas in the main storyline can't have their own storyline without having your best friend right there along with them all the time. Like, I don't understand that.
That's a good point, though.
You have to throw in, you know, your there's two other divas who have been there the longest. Like, do they just get, like, proprietary, like, okay, you get a stake in this feud because you've been here longer?
Yeah. You know? I would... The reason I'm giving it to Caitlyn, though, is because I don't want that AJ and Stephanie interaction to go for naught.
Yeah.
Because that was super cool. And I would love to see Stephanie take some interest in...
Yeah, I mean, we've seen that one time. We haven't really seen anything.
Yeah, I know, but it was good.
So good. I'm ready for more of that.
So, I want more Stephanie in my Divas division.
Absolutely. One math. Not two math. I'll give him two math.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Just for having an interesting, somewhat interesting story.
And Caitlyn might spear somebody.
And AJ might do her Black Widow thing.
Yeah.
So, cool. Chris Jericho and Ryback are having a match. Who knew? I certainly forgot.
Yeah, Chris Jericho's gonna bite it because...
Yeah, Ryback ends his pay-per-view losing streak.
Yeah.
It might be interesting because, you know, it's Jericho, but... I'm not...
I'll say, if Ryback can't beat the guy that comes in to make other people look good...
Yeah.
Then Ryback's done forever. So.
And, you know, Ryback might just completely destroy Chris Jericho, and then that's how they get Jericho off TV, so he can go Fozzy touring again.
That's actually probably...
I figured it's probably going to be pretty soon anyway.
Yeah.
Either here or at least next week, or next month at SummerSlam. So.
That's probably it.
Yeah.
But yeah, like two sound pay-per-view defeats at the hands of Ryback gets Chris Jericho.
Right. Oh yeah. I would like to at least, you know, another month of an actual decent storyline. Mm-hmm. So who knows? The Intercontinental Championship. Curtis Axel.
You gotta math that one.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you for reminding me. Two maths. Right. Everything gets two maths.
It's the two math pay-per-view.
The two math. I gotta save my maths for later. Don't want to spend all my maths.
Oh, of course.
That's how math works.
How silly of me. What's next?
I have a very responsible checkbook of math.
What's next?
Okay.
I'm done now. This joke has run its course.
Your math has run its course. So, we have the Intercontinental Championship match, Curtis Axel versus The Miz.
Go The Miz! I mean, hey, Blair.
Yeah. Some people were kind of... I don't want to say put off, but... They didn't seem to appreciate us. Or at least, you know, us talking so fondly about Miz. So I'll just blame Jonah on that.
Fair enough.
Jonah, it's all your fault. Yeah. It's another thing where I kind of forgot this was happening because... Curtis Axel's not really concentrated on this.
Mm-mm.
He's been more worried about what CM Punk is doing, so... I don't know. I'm assuming Axel's gonna retain.
Yeah, there's no reason for The Miz to win.
Unless they have something else for Axel to do, but... Once CM Punk, you know, focuses on Brock, which is what we're assuming. Or if he wins the Money in the Bank, and then he's focused on the WWE Championship. You know, so... who knows? I'm going to say Curtis Axel. 2.5 maths.
Okay.
Just so we have something different.
Because
Paul Heyman's out, and I'm feeling optimistic and generous.
Alright.
So, we have the...
Championship matches.
We're going to do the championship matches.
Well, there's a lot more to talk about on the Money in the Bank matches. So let's see the belts.
World Heavyweight Championship. We got the champion Alberto Del Rio versus Dolph Ziggler.
You give that belt back to Dolph.
You give it.
You took it. You give it back.
And they've been trying really hard to make Ziggler look good. Like had both on Raw and SmackDown where they like purposely sicked 3MB on him, and he slithered away. And kind of celebrated about it. And then on SmackDown, they did the exact same thing. He escapes, and he's, like, on the ramp. And, 3MB is still heckling him, and just for kicks and giggles. Dolph Ziggler goes running right back, and he does it all over again. Just snakes out of their grip.
Yeah.
And he's one slippery little magnificent person.
You give that man his title back.
You give that man his title back. How dare you, Del Rio. You're bad, bad, bad man.
I was talking to creative.
Either way, unless Del Rio comes out in a car, I'm not going to be impressed with him ever
again. I don't know, like, last month, they had the match, so...
Absolutely, what has Del Rio done since then?
Just not faced Dolph Ziggler in a match.
True.
So, this is... If that's what it takes to get beautiful in-ring gold out of Del Rio, all right.
I would like to see Del Rio try to just go after his go after Dolph Ziggler's head again.
Yeah.
And just completely commit to that, and then Dolph Ziggler just completely shuts him down today. From that game. Yeah. And just makes just kind of fakes him out or something. I don't know. Not a completely thought out plan, but who cares? I'll give it a solid 3.5 to 4 maths.
Is this on a 5 scale?
On a 5 scale.
Yes. I'd say 4 maths.
Okay.
Definitely 4 math,
coming off of
last month. Okay, no, absolutely.
Understood.
And Ziggler to win.
Yes. John Cena versus Mark Henry for the WWE Championship match.
I say Mark Henry takes the title and the Oscar.
Really?
Yeah. This is... Okay. This is barring... They don't have a plan for the WWE Championship contract, the Money in the Bank thing.
Right.
If they have a we're cashing in tonight plan, or we're cashing in within a month plan, then it is probably somebody to cash in on John Cena. If not, though, I think that they might actually be giving this to Mark Henry.
I would like to see that. I'm not sure how believable that is. Or how believable it is that they would do it.
They gave him so much time to make that retirement speech.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically to sell their match. Because, to be honest with you, they haven't really done a whole lot since then.
Yeah, I know, but...
So, basically, they're selling their pay-per-view of especially of this match, on that one segment. And granted, it was... worth it because of the performance, but
I mean they
needed it to be convincing.
I just think, like, looking at past things, they have struggled. If Cena was going to walk away the victor, they have struggled to make it look like Cena would lose.
Right. No, I mean,
ahead of time.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. It's a little bit more up in the air in my head that John Cena might actually lose this, but I'm not sure if he'll win it. I don't know. I'm definitely, because last pay-per-view, everyone knew John Cena was going to win against Ryback. Everyone knew. There was no doubt.
Yeah.
We had no reason to doubt. Now, with an actual story involved, I'm unsure. The match isn't going to be great, we know that. Because it is Mark Henry.
I think it is
John Cena.
I think it'll be better than you think. And again, maybe I'm overly optimistic about this, but I think Mark Henry in the past year and a half has done stuff I never thought possible
from Mark Henry.
Yes. He has pulled out in-ring performances I never thought possible from the man.
Stuff that we always... Stuff that we knew he had the capability of, but he just wasn't doing it.
See, I'm not sure I even did. I thought... He was just the mid-string kind of guy that he was. The thing is, I think if he goes into this match knowing that this is going to be the match where he wins his WWE Championship. Yeah. And it'll be his only, because I do think he is
Oh, yeah, he's very close.
To the end of his career.
Because he almost didn't come back from this last injury stint.
So, I don't think he'll be a 2-time, 3-time, 4-time
No, not champion. At all. No.
I think Mark Henry, going into this match, knowing that this will be his moment to win that championship. And I think John Cena, because, you know, I think John Cena gives out good matches when they are to be performance matches. When they're to be memorable matches, when they're to be great matches of a person's career. His or somebody else's.
Yeah, unless it's WrestleMania 29.
Oh, yeah, no. And this,
that's the exception. But other than that, yeah, he has a decent track record for
yeah,
big time matches, like high profile matches.
Yeah. So I think especially if this is Mark Henry's to win the championship, I think Mark Henry's going out there to make this the match of his career.
Right. I'll give it a 3.5. How's that?
4 stars, Matt.
I'm sorry. I ruined my own shtick.
Yep.
Yeah, 3.5 maths. I'm bad at math. That's the point of this whole thing. Duh.
I go 4.
Okay. Now we get to the Money in the Bank ladder matches. First one is for the World Heavyweight Championship match. I don't know what their kitschy little name is for it now.
The bad guys?
The Uprising, or whatever. The Rising Stars,
I think. The bad guys.
Yeah, but basically all the heels. It's Wade Barrett versus Cody Rhodes, Damian Sandow, Dean Ambrose, Fandango, Jack Swagger, Antonio Cesaro. Obviously, this one could be a little bit more interesting because, you know, it's a bunch of guys who have a lot to prove.
Yeah.
You know, that factor is always going to make for a pretty interesting match. I'm not seeing anyone on this roster that is specifically for the high-flying stuff or the acrobatic stuff. There's no one on this that really
tricked. On this match?
On this match, yes. Maybe Fandango, we just haven't seen it out of him yet.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm going to give spot of the night to Cesaro.
Well,
I don't think Cesaro's going to win, but I think he's going to take the spot of the match.
Yeah, and I think that's a safe bet.
And it might not be a high-flying thing. It might be a, like, crashing into something else thing.
Absolutely. Like, just setting up something ridiculous and going for it. Yeah, absolutely.
I could give this to Wade Barrett but that's mostly because of previous rumors of who was to win.
But he's not really done anything since he's come back. Like,
yeah.
Honestly, because Swagger and Cesaro are such a new thing, I don't think that they're gonna really go with one of them right now. Like, Swagger just already had his chance, so I don't think it's going to be him. I think out of those two, Cesaro probably would have a better chance. But, like I said, they just started out with him and Zeb, so I don't think they're going to go that route just now.
The thing to do is to give it to Ambrose so that the Shield has it. So you can do a lot of, like, Ambrose has 2 belts. Or, you know, he gives it to Seth Rollins to cash in on something.
I'm torn between these three guys as far as winning it. I'm torn between Dean Ambrose, Fandango, and Cody Rhodes. Fandango might be a longer shot. I think ultimately it comes down to Dean Ambrose and Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
I would love, like, just from finally seeing it done, I would love to see Cody Rhodes because, honestly, the timing would have been perfect if Dolph Ziggler wasn't there last year. Timing would have been perfect for him to win it then. Now it just kind of seems overdue. And he's just kind of been treading water ever since. I know a lot of guys in the back are high on Damian Sandow. I don't know if they think he's ready for this. But as far as the guys who are probably ready, you know, with, you know, backstage and everything, it would probably be Dean and Cody. Like, and that's where I'm kind of hung up on definitively picking who's going to win. Momentum says Dean Ambrose.
I'll pick Dean Ambrose.
I'll go ahead and just go with Cody.
Yeah, you also have the Shield in the pre-show, so they have plenty of time to rest to help him out.
That's true, too.
People help out all the time. Maurice was about to win the Money in the Bank once.
Very true. Very true. yeah, and he's really the only guy who has people in the back that would help him.
Yeah, he has people in the back that would help him. Because everybody else's helpers are in the match, too.
True. I don't know. Okay, I'll, for the sake of disagreeing, I'll still say Cody.
That's fair.
With Dean as my fallback. Okay. Now, do you have your second choice? It's always good to have a fallback.
My second choice was probably Wade Barrett, just because of the previous thoughts.
And that's a fair assessment.
And then, spot of the match goes to Cesaro, easy.
I can't argue against that. Who is your just flat-out dark horse, probably isn't going to win at all?
Okay, but dark horse means isn't going to win. Who is my bottom pick?
Yes.
Swagger.
Yeah, same here.
They gave that to Swagger once, they're not going to make that again. Yeah. Swaggy time is over.
Yeah. So. For the whole sake of Dark Horse, I would say Cesaro.
Okay, fair enough.
But yeah, understandably so.
Cesaro is my, like, he's going to get the amazing, but we can't give him it because he might be dead halfway through this match.
Yes. I would love to see Cesaro win.
Yeah.
But I mean, again, like, the whole logic of him just joining with Zeb just doesn't make
sense. Honestly, a lot of these guys could do something with that briefcase.
Right.
And hold that briefcase for a while.
Now, what? It would be hilarious. Okay, because Jack Swagger has had this thing with Zeb. He got his big heavyweight championship spot.
Yeah.
And basically, he himself didn't do anything with it. How funny would it be if Cesaro won Money in the Bank and just got completely over and so much... and does so much better with Zeb than Jack Swagger? How tasty would that be?
How does Swagger fail to click so consistently?
On something pro-American, which is like his entire gimmick since day one.
I mean, just like the guy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the reason it befuddles me is because I can't pinpoint what is not working with him. Like, when he was champion, didn't work with me, didn't sit right. When he was working with Michael Cole didn't sit right. When he was working now with the, you know, with the people thing.
Whenever he was with Dolph and Vicky.
Yeah, and it's like...
Yeah, it just... Something never seems to quite click with him.
Yeah, and I wish I could pinpoint it. I wish I could voice what it was that wasn't working and help the guy out, get out onto the airwaves.
Do you think it's the weed?
Weed the people?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe he needs to get clean. Maybe we'll like him. Maybe his character will actually give a crap.
I don't know. It's just... The guy, he has muscles, so, yeah. You know.
Well, for Money in the Bank matches, it's hard not to give it a 4 or a 5 maths. But looking at it and seeing that they don't have the essential high flyer, I'm going to give it a 4.5.
Okay.
0.5 reduction.
Alright.
Huzzah. Moving along to
next one has our high flyer.
The All-Star Money in the Bank Championship match.
Yes.
Or for the championship. CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, Randy Orton, Sheamus, Christian, Kane, Rob Van Dam. With Rob Van Dam being our obvious high flyer of the match.
Yes.
A little bit of CM Punk, but not as much. And, you know, a little bit Daniel Bryan.
I mean, I get it. Okay, First of all.
Most of these guys are kind of high flyers, except for Orton, Sheamus, and Kane.
Yes.
Yeah.
So,
first of all.
When last week, when I said it would be a really cool image to end with Daniel Bryan on a ladder holding the briefcase going, yes, yes, yes.
How did we end on Raw?
That was not a Raw ending. That was a Money in the Bank ending.
They got it wrong. They missed
I'm
it by
sorry
they
if you misconstrued that. That was not acceptable. Try again.
Stephanie McMahon's working on the final script. He's like, this is going to make that curly-haired kid's dreams.
No. This is the very definition of close but no cigar. Like, yes, you're 5 to 6 days out, but you missed it. And you really missed the whole point. Okay, so that being said, I'm still going to put Daniel Bryan as my winner.
Yeah, I really think it's going to come down between him and Randy, but, you know, it's real, just the momentum that he's got right now, it's really hard to argue against Daniel Bryan.
I just feel like they would, can you not just sense the explosion from the crowd?
Yeah, just personal bias completely out the window. Just this from a completely objective standpoint. The way they build him, the way they build
him. No, I'll go from a business standpoint.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. it's just really hard to argue against him right now and just how he's just skyrocketed lately. Yeah. Like, even beyond what he's been at.
So, Daniel Bryan, your pick?
Daniel Bryan's my pick. Secondary is going to be Randy Orton.
I'll do Punk as secondary.
Okay. Dark Horse.
From last week, Rob Van Dam's my Dark Horse. Because I could believe that they brought him back with a championship storyline, like, over the next
good call. Yeah.
2 months.
I'll go with that.
From now till SummerSlam kind of, like, storyline.
Absolutely no chance.
Christian.
Yeah. I want to say Sheamus, but Christian.
Sheamus has a chance.
I'll give this one 4.8 mats with 0.2 deduction being Sheamus. I can't give anything a perfect score that has Sheamus in it.
Fair enough.
See?
I appreciate. Well done.
So is there anything else you need to cover?
I'm not gonna say it.
There's something else.
I'm not gonna say it. You have to say it.
No,
I'm not gonna say it.
Joel.
Take a guess.
Come on, buddy.
I'm not gonna say it.
You know what's
coming. You gotta say it. Nope, say it. I'm not gonna say it. Do it.
Say that's it. Right, it's time for the mail sack. Mail sack, mail sack. Why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack. Let's all go inside. Mail sack, mail sack. Why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack. It's your mail sack. All right, so we actually have quite a bit of mail here. We have a late submission. It's not really anything, but it's from Joel's girlfriend, and she just wants to make sure that she hears the Mail Sack song because she thinks it's hilarious. So, Joel's girlfriend, I won't name you by name because we don't know if we have that permission yet. But this is just for you. So we start off, our friend Blair asked this earlier, a few days ago. I was doing a Q&A on Twitter, and I answered his question, but I did want to bring it up. It was on Twitter. He is at BD Inside Pulse, and he wants to know, how is Curtis Axel going to fare in the long run? Like, where do you see this going?
I'm really curious how, if Paul Heyman picked him out to be a Paul Heyman guy, or if
he was
creative placed. Was like, we know that Punk has kind of run its course, and Brock Lesnar's not on there every time. We need somebody else to get the Paul Heyman heat.
Yes.
And honestly, that plays a big factor for me, because having seen Paul Heyman's track record, the Paul Heyman stamp goes a long way of, I might not see anything now, but there's clearly something there worth looking for.
Yeah, like it's almost guaranteed that he's going to be a champion.
Yeah. So like
a big champion, I should say.
So, you know, that's kind of a thing where I don't know a lot about Curtis Axel.
Right. Still, which it feels odd to say that because he's been around for over a month now, and we still don't know much about him. We still are unsure about him in the ring, kind of.
Yeah.
From what we've seen just from this past month.
He's kind of generic.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was our complaint whenever he was Michael McGillicuddy.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably why they gave him that name, so we could have something to actually remember him with.
Yeah.
Because, Lord knows, he did nothing to really wow us.
And standing next to Husky Harris when Husky Harris was doing great.
Yeah. Hugs and gills.
So,
there's definitely two different ways they can go with this. Like, either he completely unimpresses anyone, and he just kind of peters out into JTG territory. Or he completely unimpresses us, but they keep shoving him down our throats, a la Sheamus. You'll get tired of him. Or, you know, he, you know, completely does something that blows everyone's mind, or he cuts a vicious promo or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't see that happening. With his mic skills.
With his mic skills where they are, and with the other option being Paul Heyman has the mic.
Right.
I would never give that man a mic.
No, but for some reason they gave him a mic for a pretty, somewhat lengthy little promo this week.
I mean, he needs to practice his mic work, though.
I know.
He needs to have a star-making match.
Yeah.
Which he hasn't had yet. He's not gonna get that against The Miz.
No, he's not.
So, something needs to jump over that initial barrier of, you know, yeah, but remember when this happened, yeah, and it was awesome. And so something needs to fill in that blank, and I think that'll go a long way to Curtis Axel being
right
around for a while.
Yeah, it's really hard for me to guess how he's going to do in the long run. From what I've seen so far, it doesn't look great. But there's still plenty of time for him to turn it around. Moving on, this comes from my friend Ashley. She says that we talk too much in a podcast. And we should sing what we do more often. So to Ashley, I say, no.
There was a mail sack song.
Yeah, right? There you go. There's a song right
there. Have you listened to it since that started?
And there's plenty of other things with actual music on iTunes.
They're called songs.
The only difference is you have to pay for that stuff.
I have a free song of the week.
Okay, well, yeah, but...
Sometimes I like it.
Okay, yeah, sometimes. Fine.
Because I haven't checked the free song of the week in like a year. Do they still do that?
I have no idea. But we love iTunes. iTunes is great.
Yay, iTunes.
Yay, iTunes. Rate and review us 5 stars. next, we have Jonah, our wonderful guest host from last week. He asked us a really intellectual, thought-provoking question. So, get in your thinking stance. Just there we go. He asked, which would you rather be stuck on an island with? Big E wearing AJ's wrestling outfit, or Sheamus wearing a Bella Twins wrestling outfit? Joel, go.
Well, before this podcast,
okay,
I told you an answer.
Yes.
I'm going to change my answer.
Oh, dear Lord.
I would like to be on that island with Sheamus in a Bella's outfit.
Because you're going to murder him, aren't you?
I'm not going to murder him, because I'm not that bad of a person. But if Sheamus is on that island with me, he's not on TV.
Yes, but you have to.
I will take that bullet for you.
You are so Batman-like right now.
For you and the rest of the WWE universe.
You are not the hero I deserve.
I will be on that island with Sheamus.
We shall construct a tall, skinny statue in your honor.
Thank you, sir.
And I shall be surrounded by 7 potatoes. Around your feet.
Because I will do this for you.
Okay.
And every Monday, when Sheamus yells Fella out into the night,
throw a coconut at him,
and you hear it on the wind, you will know that I have sat there with Sheamus and saved you from another week of
just
Sheamus
at least,
on TV.
At least hit him in the head with at least one coconut.
Well, I don't know if this is like a, you know, comic strip island that's four feet by 4 feet of this kind of right. A lost kind of island where there's like smoke and like
a
bunker.
Oh, you could at least get some distance between you?
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough.
You know, I'd go live in the bunker and maybe I could
get... So really
get,
it like, doesn't matter what he's wearing?
No.
Okay.
You know, I might get like rabbit ears where I could still watch Raw and be like, there's no Sheamus.
Yeah,
Sheamus, look, you're not on TV.
My answer is going to be a lot more selfish. I would have Big E just for my own enjoyment because he's a hilarious and wonderful human being to be around.
That was my initial...
I don't care what he's wearing. Like, fine. At least he's covering up something, so...
Yeah, no, that was my initial
reaction.
And there's
leaves, so, you know, you can make more clothing, so
yeah.
It's fine.
No, I mean, so, no, it's much better to be on the island with Big E, obviously.
But you're thinking of the rest of society.
But if Big E, if you're taking Big E away from Twitter, think what
but
you've
I,
done. You've basically delayed world peace.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Now so. I'm still going to be selfish. No. Screw you guys.
Those are your options, basically. Take it or leave it.
Yeah, pretty much.
You can be Batman or Chris.
Our final little bit of business here. Last week, Joel issued a challenge to anyone and apparently anything.
Yes.
That felt just brave enough to try to defend Sheamus and actually like Sheamus. And we opened this up to everyone, you know,
mm-hmm.
And we were basically aiming to get one from Pat. Like I said earlier, we have not heard from
Pat or the equivalent of Pat, because again, and this Sheamus challenge will obviously continue.
Oh yeah, yeah. If you feel like you still need to, or if the defense that you're about to hear isn't good enough for you, because it might not be, then absolutely, you know. If you want to be thought-provoking and actually give us some good... Like, that's what we're wanting. We're wanting a good, honest debate here.
Yes.
You know, that's what we're really wanting. Like, civil, unbiased, go for it, you know? So, that's still on the table. But with that being said, I got an email to classroomingattire@gmail.com from our all-time favorite WWE-loving Roomba robot. Known as, he's on Twitter, at pussbot3000. What was more alarming than me getting this message was the fact that he has his own email account now.
Have we described the pussbot on this podcast yet?
Yeah, we've talked about
okay.
it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure.
Yeah, because he wrote us something that, for the mail sec once.
Okay.
Yeah. And because I remember on the, on whenever I was putting together the video for YouTube, I actually got his profile picture from Twitter, and it's just a Roomba. So we have addressed it, so people should know.
For those who haven't heard that episode, yes, Pussbot is the creation to
It's basically the weird love child of Blair and Swayze.
To truly love all that everything WWE has ever wanted you to love.
You love everything WWE wants you to love, and you absolutely hate everything that you're supposed to hate.
Yes.
And so, we should have known this was coming, because whenever Pussbot gets out of his cage, he gets on Twitter and just talks up a storm about some Sheamus.
Yes.
So, we have the actual email here. There's some audio to it. We will have a separate YouTube video for this. It's a little hard to hear, so I'm just going to read it here, but we will link you over to it.
We will definitely link.
If you want to hear from the Pussbot itself. Yes. So, and again, this is from Pussbot. He's on Twitter at PUSSBOT3000.
It's 3,000.
Yes, Pussbot 3,000. He basically gives us 10 reasons of why Sheamus is the greatest thing ever. Number one, Brogue.
Number two, he has a believable character that fans can really get behind. Exclamation point.
Number three, he just looks like a badass. Exclamation point.
Number four, he's a spokesperson for Be a Star, which just makes him like the next John Cena by helping kids everywhere.
Number five, Brogue.
Number six, he's got a white body to reflect all the pain inflicted upon him. It leaves awesome battle scars. Exclamation point.
Number seven, Beaker is his cousin. Exclamation point.
Number eight, I called 1-800-FELLA, and he actually came on my TV! Exclamation point. Which is exactly what I needed to get past that snooze fest of a CM Punk segment.
Number nine, he's Irish! And he loves to fight and take Finley moves and make them better.
And number 10, top reasons why Sheamus is the best thing ever. Brogue.
So, there you have it. There's our lone Sheamus defender that took up the challenge. If you are unhappy with this, or you feel like you can give some better reasons, then by all means, email them to us, send us a tweet, get in contact with us, comment on YouTube, comment on iTunes.
And in all genuine sincerity, we don't want to just sit here and make fun. I mean, we do want to sit here and make fun of Sheamus,
because it's so much fun.
But we would yeah. love, you well, know.
An actual debate would also be fun as well.
You know, really interesting, genuine points of why you think, and it doesn't be why Sheamus is good. It'd be why Sheamus has potential. That might be an easier thing to get.
Right.
But yeah,
why we should still kind of be on the fence about him.
Yes. You know. Why we should not have yet given up on Sheamus.
Yes.
Anything like that, thumbs up.
Absolutely.
So, but yeah, I think that's it for me.
That is it for me. Yeah, we're good.
All right. So, as always, you can follow us on Twitter, at CR Attire. We will be tweeting every Monday, because we have money in the bank. This week, we would be doing our usual Classy Ring Attire nights.
Yes. I know last month, we did have someone guest host on Twitter for us during the actual pay-per-view. I have not heard any word from anyone who's willing to do that this time, so if there is someone who wants to do it, there will be an announcement made on Twitter, so keep your eyes open for that. But otherwise, we will be doing it late because we have to work. during those hours.
Yes.
So, expect CRA nights for Money in the Bank. If you have any comments, questions, love mail, hate mail, or if you want to actually submit to Joel's Sheamus Challenge, send all of that to our email. That is classyringattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. You can find us there. You can subscribe. You get new episodes of this podcast every single time we put them up. Download it straight to your computer automatically. You could also give us a rating of
5 stars.
Maybe write a review. Any of that would be really cool. Thanks, you guys.
Yes. And if you are listening to this on wrestling.insidepulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there, go on and check out all of the great articles. Blair had one last week that was really, really good. Got a lot of feedback on that. This week, I'm going to go more in depth on my thoughts on the card.
I haven't decided yet.
Joel hasn't decided yet, but it's probably going to be well worth your read, as well as everything else on there. So definitely go check all that out.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.